Good morning, everyone, and a special welcome to any newcomers to the church here. If you're visiting or coming here for the first time, we're delighted to have you with us and hope you will come and join us for tea or coffee in the Mayo Hall after the service. And then the day continues at 11:30 with interactive worship, with communion this week, and then at 6:30 with reflective worship. A few items of pastoral and personal news. Gillian Carnegie, alas, has mumps. Colin Veal has been in hospital, but he's out now. And congratulations to Jason Lee on being accepted into the army with an A grade. Well done, Jason. Any Jason's not here yet. And finally, firstly, a reminder that from Tuesday, the 1st of March, you have an opportunity again to support Street Pastors Kingston if you're shopping at Waitrose in Surbiton. Street Pastors are again one of Waitrose's nominated charities. So if you get given a green token at the checkout, please do consider putting it in the Street Pastors slot in the donation box on the way out. And finally, if you didn't pick one up on the way in, please do pick up one of these cream leaflets on the way out.
Trust in the Lord, because God's love is constant. As a child lies quietly in its mother's arms, so may our hearts be quiet in the presence of God. Trust in the Lord now and forever. We join to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
us join together to pray. Let us pray. Creator God, your works are wonderful. Creation sings of your mighty power and whispers of your compassion. Sunshine shouts of joy. Darkness murmurs in mystery. You are an awesome God, and we are silent before you. Redeeming God, all your works are wonderful. In Jesus, you showed us life and love. You bring us health and healing, peace and love. You care for each one of us in our sorrow, in our pain, in our delight. You are an awesome God, and we are silent before you. Sustaining God, all your works are wonderful. Through your Spirit, you build your church and transform the world. You inspire us to worship and give us strength to do our tasks. You provide what we need for our bodies, for our minds, and for our souls. You are an awesome God, and we are silent before you. In the name of Jesus we come. Let's pray. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. A teaching of Jesus that says that we are not to worry, which is one of those things that's easy to say and for some people very, very, very hard to do, because they are people who naturally worry a lot. But the teaching of Jesus is that we are not to worry. And I've spent a bit of time this week thinking about what worrying is. What does it mean? When's it worrying and when's it thinking? When's it reflecting? And I think the picture I've got to is that worrying is something that casts a cloud. And worrying is what a dog does with a bone. Just keeps coming back to it. And then you go away. Because thinking is getting in a line, moving it into action, but worrying is just and Jesus also says the reason that we're not to worry is because we are to trust in God. Because God will look after us. So we are not to worry, not because life won't be difficult, but because we are to trust in God. Now, Many people could say, well, that's all fine and dandy, but all sorts of difficult, challenging, bad things have happened to me in my life. What does that mean? How am I to trust in God when difficult things happen? Maybe it is that there's more going on than we know. If you trust somebody, you have an expectation that they're going to do the best that they can. Sometimes it doesn't look like that at all. So, for example, you might well want something and you ask it from somebody and they say, oh no, you're not having that. Now, you might think it was reasonable that you would have it, but they actually could be saving you from some great, big, huge trouble. You don't know. You trust them. And Jesus says, look at creation, and in that you will see that God is at work. Don't worry about your clothes, look at some flowers. Don't worry about birds. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, look at the birds. But this fantastic arrangement of these lovely flowers which God has given us are a fantastic illustration. I don't know who did these. Oh, yeah, do you know what? I walked in and I thought that's Jean Thompson's work. I did, honestly. Right, these fantastic flowers are a gift from God. A gift from God. Who did? Oh, right, there's a bit of a... Madge did them. Yeah. Madge, I did think these were Jean Thompson's work. But I'll give you the glory. Now, these are fantastic flowers that God has given to us, but they did not arrive in this arrangement unless somebody did the work. So we trust that God will give us the resources, but we also have the challenge to do what we can and to use our gifts and our talents with those resources. Two, to trust, but also to do that which we can. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is the hymn we're going to sing. The ruins of Jerusalem may appear to have been abandoned by God, but God has not forgotten the people. John Watts will read the first reading to us.
First reading comes from the book of Isaiah in the 49th chapter, beginning to read at verse 8. The Lord says to his people, "When the time comes to save you, I will show you favor and answer your cries for help. I will guard and protect you, and through you make a covenant with all peoples. I will let you settle once again in your land that is now laid waste. I will say to the prisoners, 'Go free,' and to those who are in darkness, 'Come out to the light.' They will be like sheep that graze on the hills. They will never be hungry or thirsty. Sun and desert heat will not hurt them, for they will be led by one who loves them, and he will lead them to springs of water. I will make a highway across the mountains and prepare a road for my people to travel. My people will come from far away, from the north and the west, and from Aswan in the south. Sing, heavens, shout for joy, earth. Let the mountains burst into song. The Lord will comfort his people. He will have pity on his suffering people." But the people of Jerusalem said, "The Lord has abandoned us. He has forgotten us." So the Lord answers, "Can a woman forget her own baby and not love the child she bore? Even if a mother should forget her child, I will never forget you. Jerusalem, I can never forget you. I have written your name on the palms of my hands." Here ends the lesson.
Jesus calls his disciples to a life of simplicity, of allegiance, and of goal. The aim of the followers of Jesus should be God's reign. And this continues, Jesus preaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Sue Watts will read this passage to us.
The second reading is taken from the book, Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse 24 in chapter 6. "No one can be a slave of two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is why I tell you not to be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food, and isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not sow seeds, gather a harvest, and put it in barns, yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? And why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass. Grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burnt up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? How little faith you have. So do not start worrying, 'Where will my food come from, or my drink, or my clothes?' These are the things the pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. Instead, be concerned about everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings. Here ends the second reading.
The two bits from Matthew's Gospel may look as though they are just two random words from Jesus, but actually the linking between them is critical. The question is, where do you put your ultimate trust? Wealth, according to teaching of Jesus, can be a compelling master that people can consciously or unconsciously serve, and it will provide false security. Trusting in the one who has provided freely through creation may seem risky, but actually can release a person from the endless worry, from anxiety. Now, the word that's used here for worry is not just the sort of the thought about, the casual thought about what, you know, that planning. What am I going to have for my tea? Oh, yeah. But the anxiety, that's that, the deep core thing. The way I've got to it is that thinking and planning is sort of a light thing. It energizes. But anxiety and worry is a dark thing, and it brings you down. There's no point, says Jesus, worrying about tomorrow. And then the passage from Isaiah has a word to people who are in bondage, that it's God who has freed them and fed them when they were exiled, when they were in Egypt, and that God will, they need to have confidence in that, that God who was provided then will be the God who provides into the future. And that God will not forget them, like a mother will not forget a nursing child. God will still be there. And it might well be that it looks like God has forgotten, but that is not the case. And then God says that God has engraved the names of the people in the palms of his hands, which is an interesting picture when you think about Jesus. My question to you and to me is, do you trust that God will provide for you? Now, of course, that does not mean that you will, when it comes to thinking about your tea, you'll just sit on your backside and wait for God to peel the potatoes. You know, like the flowers, we have resources, and we have to do something to use those resources that we have. The trouble is that talking about, well, you know, I trust in God, it all sounds a bit half-baked and weak and immature. And you can almost hear people say to you, for goodness sake, why don't you Christians just grow up and start being so idealistic? It's all claptrap. You know, you need to look after yourselves. You need to do what you can do. It's about you looking, taking responsibility. The more money you've got, the easier life's going to be. You can hear it said? Hello? You can hear it said? Yeah. But the first line that needs to be said is that we do not say that when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your life is going to be easy. That is not our line. We know that those who are followers of Jesus suffer as those who are without the faith do. That's the reality of life. Being a Christian is not some sort of super spiritual umbrella that protects you from all pain. And you can imagine the people who heard the prophecy from Isaiah. There they are in exile. And the prophet says, God loves you. God cares about you. God would never forget you. God has got your names written in the palms of his hand. And you can imagine them all with their arms folded across their chest going, yeah, it really looks like it, doesn't it? You know. So there's something going on. There's more going on than we can see. Now, just before I get told off, I'm aware that you can use money for good purposes. I am aware that it can be used for excellent causes, but the teaching of Jesus is clear. Money is dangerous stuff. I think, at my head, it's a really useful illustration. Might not be useful to me, to you, works for me. It's thinking about money like dynamite. You know, it's dangerous stuff, but you can use it for good causes. Yes? Not to be used lightly, it's not to be used casually. It's dangerous stuff. And when you're around it, you think you need to be cautious. Because easily and quickly, you can find yourself putting your faith in it. Which for us, my friends, would be idolatry. And the other thing is, we need to get to the point where we're not sentimental about it. You know, you do need so much money to live. But it is not the case that the more that you have, the happier you are. That's not how it is. You can use it, but you need to make sure that it is only in your head a tool to do the bigger things, to be used for the bigger causes. And the direction of what the biggest causes are, that comes from God. I know a family where they have three children. And as time has gone on, they've got better and better off. The parents got better and better off. It happens. So the oldest two children, who are now a doctor and a builder, went to the ordinary state school. But as the parents got more prosperous, so they paid for the education of their youngest son. They sent him to one of the good schools in the area. While that boy was at that school, he was introduced to drugs. And although his older brother and older sister made a success of their lives, he never did. The parents, of course, were, you know, doing the best they could. They wanted more for him. They thought it was better. All those good things, right? You cannot assume that the more money you put into a situation, the better it will be. The more money you have, the better it is. And that, for me, is a clear illustration of that. This man never was able to live a life and died as a young man. Now, I'm quickly going to be, you know, clarifying, covering me back, saying, I know that not all private schools are full of drugs. I know that pretty state schools have got their issues in drugs. I know that to be true. But that family, where they had more money, they were more prosperous, so they invested in their son's education. And actually, for him, with that school, his personality, it was a disaster. It happens. We cannot think that we can have our confidence in the more cash that we have. So, if it's not, you're not going to trust money, what are you going to trust? We, of course, would say, oh, I'm going to trust in God. And those are words that lightly and easily trip off the tongue. And for somebody like me, that's just too sloppy. I mean, you know, one, that's, oh yeah, that's what you would say, wouldn't you? Or if true. But the other bit is, you know, my life is so easy that those are easy words to say. For those of you who have had a tougher time, when we, the rest of us, hear you say that your trust is in God, then that is really inspiring and encouraging to us. So, where is your trust? Jesus says that we need to trust God, and we need to trust God to provide for our most basic of needs. That does not mean that we just sit there and expect money to drop into our bank accounts. We need to do stuff. We need to use the talents, gifts God has given us. But our trust is in God. That's what Jesus says. And we are not to worry. We are not to be anxious. And, as I've said, I think that this is one of those things, it's easy to say, but hard to do. Do you think about what you think about? Do you ever think about, just what am I thinking about here? What is going on in my head? What am I thinking about? And I think that the challenge for us, when if you are a person who knows that you are a worrier, I would like to challenge you to spend a bit of time thinking about what you're thinking about. And challenge yourself. What am I thinking about here? Why am I thinking about this? Why am I anxious? And challenge yourself. I think that worrying is a bad habit. I think it's a bad habit, and it's like loads of other bad habits, overeating, smoking, drinking too much, all that stuff. It needs to be sorted out. And you can start that by thinking about what you're thinking about. And somewhere, like lots of other bad habits, the answer has to be to put our confidence in God. Yesterday, I was coming home from Scotland, land of the free, and I got a message on my phone from my neighbour across the way that her daughter, who is ages with Alice, so early 20s, this girl's boyfriend, who's been ill, was getting better. The message was that he's now in intensive care and he's not expected to live. His liver's failing and he's not expected to live. And she said, could you come round? So I went round. And she said, this young woman said, when I think about the things that I worry about, I will never do it again. And I thought, aha. And I did say to her, is it okay if I tell you a story on Sunday morning? She said, all right then. So, in the face of the big stuff, we all know that our anxieties are usually ridiculous. The little niggling worries that we spend a lot of time on. In the face of the big stuff, Only God is able to be at work in a dreadful situation like the one I have described. Only God. I have to tell you, though, I was reminded of when she said that, I nodded and said nothing, but I was reminded of a story of a friend of mine who told me about a car accident that once happened where the local URC minister, a woman, was killed in a car crash with her child. They're both killed. And he and his wife said, right, that's it. We're never going to worry again, and we're never going to argue. We will never argue again, because you mean too much to me, and we're never going to do it again. They lasted a week. I have to say, if it had been in our house, it wouldn't have been that long. It'd been a day. So, those of you who are worriers, you know this. The challenge is to rekindle the trust and to look at the thing as a habit, like the habits of the rest of us, that we need to be worked on. So let us be still, and then we will pray. We thank you, God, that you meet our every need, that you care about the smallest worry that we have and our biggest fears. We bring before you our worries. Touch us with your peace. And help us with the daily battle to trust you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Come down, O love divine, we join to sing.
Thank you.
We join to pray. Let us pray. In these uncertain times, let us pray to the Lord for those who've put their faith in mammon and invested in greed, for those who are now having to re-examine their values, that they would find a companion who would point them towards the deeper things, the things that will last. In these changing times, let us pray to the Lord for those who find themselves prey to rising prices, those who are anxious about their jobs, those who cannot find work. And those who've had their confidence shaken in the things that they thought were secure. For those countries around the world where the infrastructure is being shaken. For those leaders who thought that they would always have it their way. And for those people who thought that they would never have a voice. In these starstruck times, let us pray to the Lord for those who live their lives through another, a celebrity that they do not know, for those who are involved in the fashion industry, this is our time. It is your time. Lord, may our days be useful and our lives worthy. May the difference that we will make this week be a lasting legacy. We bring before you our concerns, the people, the places. Lord, help us to trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the wonderful things you give us. Thank you for food and drink. Thank you for our clothes. Thank you for the beautiful birds and the flowers in the world. We respond with this money. We respond with our lives, our gifts and our talents, that all may be used for the work of your kingdom. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Gordon and Rosemary were faced with the challenge of finding our last hymn since nobody else had done it. You had your chance, you didn't do it. There's a wideness in God's mercy. If you're using paper, you'll find it at number 353. Why did you choose it, Rosemary? Just because you like it? Gordon, just because you like it? Yeah, seems appropriate. Right. All-encompassing, inspiring hymn. There's a wideness in God's mercy, we sing. God who painted the lilies and launched the birds into flight, who created grass to feed the cattle and sparkling water to sustain all of life. We go from here to face the week, knowing that you are already outside of these doors, ready to work with us, to bless us, and to encourage us. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen.